Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. Monday, March 18th, 2024. This is the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. And now the Cyber Smart Morning News Update has a video option. So a link to a YouTube channel will be, or YouTube link will be in the show notes if you want to watch this in video. I'm working through some kinks trying to get the video to work correctly. So these first couple will probably be a little rough. There was one I did last week and the audio sync was off. I think I fixed it for this one. So if it's not, I apologize, but there's always the audio version that you may be listening to that is always good for all the information that you need to know. So let's get right into the news of the weekend, because needless to say, the cyber problem was not resolved over the weekend, although not everything in the news today is cyber-oriented specifically, but it could have been, and that's a good lesson to learn. First one is from cybernews.com, Stephanie Shepard reporting. Microsoft addresses system outage, blames a third-party provider. Fast food giant Microsoft says a third-party provider is to blame for the worldwide system outage that knocked thousands of restaurants and franchisees offline from Hong Kong to the U.S. In an updated statement Friday evening, hours after McDonald's employees and customers around the world took to social media to post about the disruption, the company reiterated the outage was not caused by a cybersecurity incident. Now, there's more to this if you want to take a look at it, but the point being, this was could have been a cyber incident. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see watching if it is, if it turns out to be that was the case. For right now, they're saying it is not, but we've seen a lot of times with this kind of thing that what they say initially is not what ultimately happened. But it's a good reminder that you have to be careful when you use third parties, because you are relying on their capability to keep your data protected to stay in business, right? And this was Microsoft issued, McDonald's issued rather. And obviously, can you do everything yourself? Can you have everything on premises? No, it makes sense to go to third parties, but work with those third party providers to do your own risk assessment, do your own due diligence to make sure that they have the capabilities to keep your stuff protected, running correctly, and all that kind of stuff. Do outages happen? Sure. But you know, if it happens over and over again, maybe it's time to look for a different provider. All right, next is from darkreading.com. This one hits close to home for me. I live in Alabama. And this one is Alabama under DDoS attack by Russian-backed hacktivists. The hacktivist group Anonymous Sedan claims credit for a cyber attack that disrupted Alabama state government earlier this week. Alabama has been grappling with network disruptions following cyber incidents targeting both state and city governments. And days later, still appear to be struggling to recover. Alabama's Governor Kay Ivey confirmed that the cyber attack on state systems began March 12th, but added that neither systems nor system data were compromised. Now, that'll be interesting to see if that really is the case. If this was simply a DDoS attack, okay. And Anonymous Sudan is just this weird hacktivist group, obviously from Africa, who also targets Israel, Europe, and the messaging app Telegram for some reason. The one thing this article doesn't say is why they, what was the rationale? Now, obviously, if Anonymous Sudan doesn't come out and say, here's why we're doing it, because we're mad about the IVF bill or whatever, it's hard to really say. Not only was the state impacted, but Birmingham officials had issues as well that impacted their city systems. And chances are we will see over the course of the next couple of weeks if more municipalities and states across the country suffer this same issue. Now, what would be nice is if a postmortem would be done of this DDoS attack, where'd they come from, how they do it, what they target, was there vulnerabilities, were there things not turned on that should have been, because that would be valuable for entities who have not been hit yet to be able to protect themselves so they don't become hit, right? That would be the key thing here. Whether Alabama does that, I wouldn't probably not hold my breath. But that would be great to see, right? Any kind of, I'm always almost begging for postmortems. Postmortems are what we need. It'll keep everybody safe, but not everybody does it. So it is what it is. All right, cyberscoop.com. This is Christian Vasquez reporting. Confronted with Chinese hacking threat, industrial cybersecurity pros ask what else is new. At the world's largest industrial cybersecurity conference, Beijing's operations targeting U.S. critical infrastructure was just one concern among many. In recent months, U.S. intelligence officials have issued a series of pitched warnings about Chinese hacking operations targeting American critical infrastructure. But at a gathering last week of the world's most foremost industrial security cybersecurity experts, the conversation among those charged with protecting these systems was anything but alarmed when it came to China. Instead, conversations on panels in hallways of the S4X24 conference focused on a lack of information from Washington about Beijing's operations and what they believe are warnings from the intelligence community about an obvious threat from China that many in the world regard as the status quo. And this is really the case, right? China has been doing this a long time. 2003, Titan Rain was first discovered as being a Chinese spying entity targeting commercial entities to steal their information. It's been going on ever since. Every once in a while, the U.S. government will charge a couple Chinese PLA members and stuff like that, which no one ever gets arrested. But the government seems to think like this is some brand new thing, when indeed it is not. And the entities that are targeted know it's not new, which would be, and the value here would be if the government would share more information about these activities. More from this particular article. Dale Peterson, a security pioneer who founded the S4 conference series, argued during one panel appearance that the Chinese hacking operations known as Volt Typhoon, which American intelligence officials believe aim to give China the ability to disrupt communications between the U.S. and Asia in the event of a conflict, are not shocking and shouldn't be overstated. Why would you not pick strategic targets? Peterson wondered aloud. Peterson has been warning since 2013 that critical infrastructure entities are likely to be targeted by disruptive state-backed cyber operations, and he sees the latest warnings about Volt Typhoon as merely the latest development in a long-running story. Quote, Volt Typhoon isn't important, he wrote last month. The recognition and acceptance that this is the status quo is what's critical. And that is correct, right? China's not stopping at this. They're going to continue on. We talked last week about TikTok and the efforts they're doing there. It's a multi-pronged effort. Two Chinese generals wrote a book in 1999 called Unrestricted Warfare that had to do with how China was going to do this, how they were going to try to overtake the U.S. and become the hegemonic leader in the world. And this is just part of it. They're not going to probably fire missiles and bullets because they know they'd lose in that particular kind of conflict. But when it comes to cybersecurity issues and things like that, they will continue on. I know that when I was with the FBI in 2014, there was a big meeting between Xi Jinping and President Obama. And President Obama said, oh, he promised he wouldn't hack anymore. Well, guess what? They continued on. They're going to continue on. And the awareness of this problem, and the government needs to help share intelligence they have on capabilities, how these guys are targeting, what they're targeting, and things like that, would go a long way to helping protect these critical infrastructure entities like we're talking here. Will we see it? Will we see postmortems? Who knows, but it's kind of the way that we probably need to go. All right, from the good news file, I keep doing that on the video thing. I apologize for those who watch on the video. I keep hitting the wrong button and causing screens to move wrong. So here we go. But the U.S., this is from Bill Tolis, U.S. moves to recover $2.3 million from pig butchers on Binance. So the U.S. Department of Justice is recovering $2.3 million worth of cryptocurrency linked to a pig butchering fraud scheme that victimized at least 37 people across the United States. Pig butchering is a social engineering scam where fraudsters contact people on social media and message platforms to build trust. They eventually trick the person depositing cryptocurrency into fake investment sites, where the victim is deceived into believing they are making profitable investments on bogus platforms that present fake investment returns. However, instead of deposits being invested, they go straight to the scammer's pocket, which is the butchering, and the victims are merely given a virtual balance, extending the deception for as long as possible. So when investigating a 2023 pig butchering scheme targeting a Massachusetts resident who lost $400,000, law enforcement investigators traced the fund transmission to two Binance wallets holding approximately $2.3 million in cryptocurrency. Further investigations revealed that additional funds were linked to 36 people from across the country who had fallen victim to various fraud schemes by the same threat actor. In January 2024, following the mentioned investigations, the authorities used a civil forfeiture action to recover the following amounts from the two Binance accounts. And they kind of list what those are. You can go look at them once. It's a variety of different cryptocurrency types. On average, each victim lost $62,000. So the good thing here, obviously, is that someone's going to get their money back. The problem is, last year, the FBI warned about pig butchering cryptocurrency investment schemes becoming more frequent, costing victims in the U.S. over $2 billion annually. That's $2 billion reported annually. Chances are the money lost is much more because people don't want to admit they got scammed. I met a guy at a conference he didn't tell me how much he lost, but he lost the money. He didn't report it because he was so embarrassed that it had happened. So this is obviously a big issue. And so thumbs up to the Department of Justice for having some success here in recovering some money, because we don't see that very often. So thumbs up there. From the Hacker News, third-party ChatGPT plugins could lead to account takeovers. So if you're a ChatGPT user and you like to use pre-configured little plugins that will allow you to do certain queries on on ChatGPT, just be aware, you have to now be careful about those ones you're downloading. Cybersecurity researchers have found that third-party plugins available for OpenAI's ChatGPT could act as a new attack surface for threat actors looking to gain unauthorized access to sensitive data. According to new research published by Salt Lab, security flaws found directly in ChatGPT and within the ecosystem could allow attackers to install malicious plugins without users' consent and hijack accounts on third-party websites like GitHub. So the point here, there's more to this article if you want to read it. I'm just showing here on the video, there's a lot more to it. You can go take a look at it, but just be aware, if you're installing plugins on ChatGPT, be careful about third parties that you pull in from other entities, because they could cause you issues going forward. This is scmedia.com. Stop ransomware, more common than Lockbit, and gains a stealthier variant. So we've heard a lot about Lockbit being taken down and Black Cat being hit and going out of business because they got 22 million called it a day. Ransomware is not going anywhere anytime soon. So this is Laura French reporting. Sorry, I did that again on my video part. I did the wrong thing here. Let me do one thing. There we go. StopCrypt, the most common ransomware family of 2023, has a new variant leveraging more advanced evasion tactics. StopCrypt, also known as Stopped and DJVU, surpassed the Lockbit ransomware family in detections. In 2023, according to Trend Micro's 2023 annual cybersecurity report published last week, Stop typically targets smaller targets. Target smaller businesses with an average ransomware payment size of $619 in the first half of 2023. SonicWall reported Tuesday that a new StopCrypt variant employs several evasion tactics in a multi-staged shellcode deployment process, including a long delay loop, dynamic API resolution, and process hollowing on the replacement of code in a legitimate executable malicious code. Again, more to this if you want to take a look at it, but the point here being, ransomware is not going anywhere anytime soon. You still need to keep your defenses up. You need to inform people as to the potential risk to your company. The nice thing here, there's a little bit of postmortem information that kind of talks about how this particular malware works. So certainly if you are a blue teamer or you're a cybersecurity defender, take a look at that. So you're aware of it and you can look for those particular indicators so you can protect your business's stuff. Security Fairs, threat actor leaks 70 million records allegedly stolen from AT&T. So if you're an AT&T user, congratulations. All your data now back out on the internet. Chances are you'll get a letter from AT&T saying this happened, and you'll get free credit monitoring for quite a while. Today, this is from VX Underground, reported this on Twitter, actually. Today, 70 million plus records from an unspecified division of AT&T were leaked onto breached. No information is available to indicate whether it's a third-party compromise or which division the data is from. Researchers confirmed that the leaked data is legitimate, however, still unclear if the information was stolen from a third-party organization linked to AT&T. Go back to our first article today, and we're talking about a third-party entity and their inability to protect other entities' information. So the seller, who goes online with the moniker Major Nelson, claims that the data was obtained from an unnamed AT&T division by at Shiny Hunters in 2021. The archive contains exactly 73,481,539 records. It should be noted that it should be noted that before anyone hits us with the data was stolen in 2021, it was leaked online today. So it's been stolen for a while, just recently leaked, according to VX Underground. So again, the point being here, if you're an AT&T user, you might probably want to go change your password. And if you use that same password on other accounts, change those as well. InfoSecurityMagazine.com, U.S. government to investigate Change Healthcare ransomware attack. Now I saw this and I thought, hey, finally, the Cyber Safety Review Board is going to do something. I was incorrect. All right. James Coker reported. The U.S. government will investigate the Change Healthcare ransomware attack to determine whether protected healthcare information was breached and if the firm complied with its regulatory duties. However, it's the Office of Civil Rights, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, said the investigation was necessary due to the unprecedented magnitude of the cyber attack, which was first identified in February 21st, 2024. The ongoing incident has caused delays to patient care across the U.S., including medicine and prescriptions. The American Hospital Association detailed how the attack on the health payment provider has impacted on hospitals' abilities to provide patient care and so on. Now, we talked about this before, right? That this is causing all sorts of problems with people being able to get their prescriptions refilled and things like that. This seems like a perfect case for the Cyber Safety Review Board. If you heard me talk at all, I am so disgusted by this entity that it's not doing what it was supposed to do. It'd be great if it did, but it's not, probably because it's filled with bureaucratic crap and can't get it done. So it's never going to happen. But at least someone's investigating. I'm sure the Bureau is investigating, right? I'm sure there's other entities that are looking into this. But this is probably going to go back to Black Cat and other ransomware groups. And it's going to be, no one's going to jail. But the thing that would be great is some kind of postmortem to say, here's how it happened. Someone clicked a link. Someone downloaded a file. We would love to know kind of that information, because that's the thing that provides value to everyone so they can understand what's going on. And so that's going to do it for this edition of the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. Because I'm doing the video piece, I'm kind of probably going above 15 minutes. So I can't post all of this online on LinkedIn. So if you're a LinkedIn user or watcher, you need to subscribe. And as always, if you find value in this podcast, it'd be great if you could subscribe, because that just kind of keeps me going. It helps me know that people like what I'm doing, find at least value in it, right? And if you have thoughts, comments, or suggestions, feel free to email me, Darren@thecyberguy.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. Check out my Substack, cyberguy.substack.com. And at some point on the video piece, I'll actually post this stuff up here. I just haven't, again, this is a rough going with the video stuff, but we'll figure it out, because as I like to say, I have a face for radio, so it's hard for me to get on a camera and do this, but I'm doing it for you because I care. I want people to be better informed, to understand the threats targeting you so you can assess your risk, proceed wisely. That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks again for listening, downloading, subscribing. We'll be back again Wednesday, and we will deep dive into a couple articles then. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Cyber Smart Morning News is written and produced by Cyber Guy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren@thecyberguy.com. Or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.